Right, this is the Quocast. My name's Jamie Dyer, and I'm here today via the medium of Skype with Johnny Hall from the band Quo No UK. Can you tell us a little bit about Quo No UK?
We're a band based in the sort of southwest of England. We're a bunch of Quo fans. Myself and the bass player have been in the band together, it seems, since we were back at school. We got into Quo when we were very young, and we've just sort of surrounded ourselves with like-minded people. As far as the band goes, we started in 2013, I believe. So a relatively young Quo tribute band, really.
Do you have any particular era that you cover?
Yeah, we cover the 68 to 81 remit, really, only because that is the years that we were really, really into status quo. I sort of became a bit disjointed from it as I got a little bit older, and didn't really listen to too much Quo until they came back with Heavy Traffic, which I thought was an amazing album. You know, I really enjoyed that. I thought they'd sort of hit home again. Probably there's a lot of people who are listening who probably feels the same. Again, there's a lot of people who probably got into them during the 90s and the late 80s. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Well, no, because I'm one of those people that grew up in the mid to late 90s and discovered them through albums such as Under the Influence and Heavy Traffic. So you cover the years 68 to 81. Does that mean that you do anything from the first two albums?
Well, we do a bit of picturesque, much stickable messages. Yeah, we do picture match moment. We used to do Ice in the Sun, but it's a bit of a story to that one. Between us, we just spend time working songs out. There are a few that we might one day bring to the fore. Mark Ellis, of course, we do a couple from there in our set. And obviously then onto the popular stuff like Dog or Two Head, Pile Driver, Quo, right up to whatever you want. Just Supposing, Never Too Late, those albums. Yeah, we sort of cover most of it. Yes, but we do the early stuff as well. So that happens to be my personal favourite stuff, is the very, very early stuff.
Well, yes, it's when Quo first found their sound and, you know, it hit home with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it was quite an exciting time for music, really. I think they felt personally themselves that they'd got away with it a bit with the 68 period with their psychedelia. And then found themselves, and obviously the rest was history, I think, for most Quo fans. I never really get to talk with many people about the pictures of Matches Men era. Everybody really just wants to talk about Pile Driver and Hello, because that's the Quo they really know. But I'm sure everybody's just as aware of that early stuff. It's when you sit at home and you hear a song, you think, oh, I know that one from somewhere. And that's usually what it is. It's always been there. It's always been in the background.
For most people, I think it has certainly been in the background. Now, I often ask this to people in tribute bands and, well, just fans in general, really, and they always sort of tell me the same thing. Do you have a particular favourite Quo album that you go back to?
I do, yes. Strangely enough, again, I did hear one of your podcasts with Uffy on there, and he said exactly what I think most people do tell you, is that any given day, you can wake up and it'll be something else. I've always stated that 4,500 Times was my favourite song, so therefore you'd assume that Hello was my favourite album. Although Blue For You was a personal favourite. It was just an absolute fantastic album. It sort of slightly honed the sound a bit, and they had some fantastic songwriting on that song, on that album, I think.
Blue For You was kind of that bridge. They often say that Rockin' All Over the World is that bridge to popular music, but I think Blue For You has got that balance just right.
Oh, absolutely. The songwriting's really strong on that album, I think. And I think they must have been at the top of their game at that point, I think. I think to most people, whether they agree with me or not, but I think that's when they were at their absolute peak. They'd obviously followed by the live album, which I also adore. The 76 live album, I think, fantastic. Couldn't really, yeah, that was just as I was finishing school, I think my album did the rounds amongst people in my class and other friends. And by the time it came back, it was unplayable. But yeah, it was happy times for me anyway, I think. My favourite summer.
Well, yes, and now you supposedly, just supposing, get to relive it every time you go on stage.
Absolutely, yeah. We are one of these bands that we do what we do. We're one of the two bands. We wear wigs. We dress to sort of give an audio and a visual 70s feel to the show we're playing. We're not trying to impersonate the personal members, but every time we get on, get the old denim on and edge down, it's fantastic. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's one of the best things I've ever done.
It's about evoking a certain feel and sound of it.
That's exactly it. That's what we say. You know, we the rest of the band, before we were in a covers band, but we used to just dress up in various themes to do and do an intro. And that's really how the closing came about, I suppose. We all decided we're going to watch the reunion concert in 2013, and we had to go to Glasgow. We came away from that thinking, wouldn't it be nice to play a load of Quo songs somewhere, which is how the idea was born, really. I didn't know at the time that there would be lots of Quo tribute bands, but I've got to know a lot of them, though. And they're all very good. They're all very good bands. I do quite a lot of listening in on the internet to all of the tribute bands, really. Let's see what they're doing.
They all cover a different area, and they all do it in a different way. And I'm actually amazed. I know you say that you don't cover anything beyond, but I have heard quite a few bands say that the Just Doing It DVD from the mid-2000s was like the thing that they started their tribute band with. So it is interesting to hear you say that it was actually the reunion concert that really sparked the interest.
Well, it was just listening to Alan Lancaster singing again. I think suddenly realised, to my mind, what they slightly missed, I think, really, was that extra voice. Fantastic vocalist, Alan Lancaster. I know he's obviously had his health issues and that by that time. And what will be, I'm sure, you know, it's well documented about how they all individually felt all about it. But it was a tears to my eyes moment when we went to that. Then we went to Hammersmith the year after. Fantastic. That was just some fantastic weekends, really. We all try to enjoy ourselves. We don't come from an era really where we take ourselves a bit too seriously. Hence, when we put a wig on, it's a bit of a laugh for us. When we're getting ready to go on, we're laughing about it. It's just really good fun, and we intend to try and make it good fun when we're out there. Really, hopefully that does come across. Some people say it do.
Well, having seen a couple of the videos that you've sent me and looking around at your band, you certainly seem to be having fun while doing it, which is all that matters, you know.
Yeah, we don't intentionally do that, walking across and talking to each other as the Quo did. We just happened to do it because you used to get somebody coming across the Quo. Sounds all right, doesn't it? Yeah, nice. You know, and that's all we're ever saying. But when you look at it back on a bit of film, you think, oh gosh, we're just copying them. But it's in there. It's grown. It's ingrained into your heads, really. Everything they did, even what they were saying between, you know, links between songs. Fantastic. Our bass player is pretty good at doing stuff off the cuff. Anyway, he's the chap who's I've been with sort of most of my life musically, I think. Yeah, it's a great thing to do.
What kind of venues are you playing at the moment?
Obviously, we just did the Tribfest up in Sledmere House for Ed Faulkner's festival. I think I've got to say that it's absolutely fantastic and recommend anybody to go to it, even if you don't think your favourite band's playing. Some of the tribute bands there we saw, the Foo Fighters, Ian Dew and the Blackheads, just a great eclectic mix of music, really well worth doing. We do a lot of bike shows. You know, there was the Beamer that we've done, and they're doing one somewhere near Exeter. I can't really remember what it had. Newton Sires, little village, I think, but they have a a yearly festival where they get all the bikes down there and they have bike shows. We're doing a couple of venues. We're doing one in Truro. We've been a bit quiet this year because our drummer wanted to sort of take a little rest back, really. His daughter's getting married and he had to do some building on his house. Usual thing. But I think the year before we were really intense. We spent a lot of time at it. And something has to give when you're nearly 60. Oh, he's not nearly 60, he's 55. But I've done him an injustice there, but never mind. He's probably younger than that. I can't remember. And they're all the same age as me, as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah.
Well, I think most Quo fans, it doesn't really matter because it's always a wide congregation of people.
Absolutely. We're off to the Minehead convention. We did it last year. We wandered around. We got very drunk. It was such a good time that we're going again just to see the people. Lovely German people we met, who I actually then went on to meet in Germany later on that year, which is fantastic. Werner Killian, he's well into it, and he seems to appear at everything that has the word status quo attached to it. Really lovely man. There's some lovely people out there, really, who follow this. Couldn't recommend it highly enough. Fantastic.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to at the convention this time round?
I always look forward to hearing Alan Lancaster talk. I always think he's very interesting. And, and obviously John Coughlin's Quo, got a new guitarist, Peter, who I've met briefly when I went to see them in Swanage. But I was a friend on Facebook of his a little while. We always had a little conversation here and there. So it'd be interesting to hear them again and see the slight different take. I think it's Rick Abbs from probably the head was previously their guitarist. We went a couple of places to watch from John Coughlin's Quo, over the last couple of years. It's just, again, a different take on a Quo tribute, although people will tell me that John Coughlin's Quo isn't a tribute because he was in the band. I don't know how you'd name it. I don't care. It's Quo music. I like it. And then you meet the usual nutters who sort of go and watch all these things. And everybody knows who I'm talking about. And if he's listening, he'll know who I'm talking about. But it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I couldn't, like I say, I keep saying recommend it. It is really good. It's good fun.
I want to ask a couple of Quo No UK questions. Where did the name come from?
When we were putting it all together, we were trying to think of a name. Our Rossi, alike, said, well, we've got to check that nobody else has got a name like this. Okay, so we were thinking of all these stupid names. Decided that it had to have the word Quo in, otherwise, if people were sort of searching on the internet, it wouldn't come up. I'm very conscious of trying to get something out of it. And then somebody said, Quo? Oh, no. And that sort of thought, Quo, no. So we just saw that was quite funny. So we stuck.
If people wanted to find out more about the band, where would they need to go?
Well, we've got a Facebook page, Quo No UK, funded for tribute, or our website, which is www.quo-no.co.uk.